It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Wednesday, December 16th. I'm Patricia Naft. Olathe's Main Street Improvement Project wrapped up last week. KVNF's Laura Pomisano has more.
Bobby Sale, the town clerk, says construction started in September.
The street was taken down to bare dirt. It was asphalt, and that was all ground up, and it was taken down to bare dirt and built back up and resurfaced with asphalt. There is new curb, gutter, and sidewalk, and new street lights, and decorative rock, and some new crosswalks.
Sale says Main Street was due for a makeover.
It is the gateway into our downtown business district, and the main crux was to make it more appealing to maybe get some more businesses downtown. That road was real rough. We have a lot of roads in our town, like many other small towns, that are in bad shape. And it is the first new asphalt that's been put on a street in Olathe in 20 years.
The renovations cost about $400,000. Funding for the project came from a state grant, Montrose County, and a monthly road improvement fee paid by Olathe utility customers. On Friday afternoon, the town will host a ribbon-cutting ceremony celebrating the reopening of the street, followed by an annual Christmas parade. For KVNF, I'm Laura Pomisano.
The state awarded the Telluride Foundation and Fort Lewis College a $300,000 grant to create an innovation corridor in Southwest Colorado. Paul Major is the CEO of the Telluride Foundation.
So what we're trying to do is combine the mentorship, the curriculum, the process for how you start and build a company, what we have learned here at Telluride with the Telluride Venture Accelerator, with sort of the raw product of the students, the student body, and the professors at Durango, and see if we can really make a four corners effort around creating new high-growth startup companies.
The grant comes from the Colorado Office of Economic Development and International Trade. On Monday, the agency awarded funds to four other organizations for a total of $4.4 million. Officials say the Advanced Industry Accelerator Grant Program helps collaborate projects that fill industry gaps. Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper is attempting to convince farmers to back a statewide water plan. As KUNC reports, Hickenlooper spoke to a room of farmers and ranchers in Loveland Tuesday. He says the Colorado Water Plan lays a foundation for solving some problems, but will need additional spending and legislation. The plan is meant to balance the state's growing population and expanding agriculture operations with limited water supplies. It's been criticized for not taking a hard line on limiting water use by new real estate developments.
If people take this seriously and implement it as written, we won't need all those hard edge restraints. If people don't implement it and don't pay attention to it, then we'll have to look at other possibilities.
The non-binding plan calls for billions of dollars to build new water infrastructure and maintain existing reservoirs. It also suggests the creation of partnerships to find alternatives to cities buying up water rights from farms known as buy and dry. Lawmakers could debate parts of the plan as soon as the next legislative session. The state Supreme Court heard arguments last week on whether cities in Colorado can ban hydraulic fracturing or fracking. The issue has been divisive, and both sides say they are looking forward to a resolution. Benta Berkland reports.
At issue was whether to uphold the city of Longmont's 2012 voter-approved ban on fracking and a five-year fracking moratorium passed by voters in Fort Collins in 2013.
We're very, very serious about not wanting fracking anywhere near us.
Kay Fissinger is with the group Our Longmont. She helped spearhead the ballot campaign to ban fracking. Her biggest concern is the health impact.
We're worried about our children, our grandchildren, and in my case, I'm worried about my great-grandchildren. It was a landslide victory, 60-40%. The people spoke, and the people should be heard.
The Supreme Court chamber was filled with a who's who in the energy world, from policy experts and state and city officials to top attorneys and environmental activists, highlighting the importance of these cases. Rich Coolidge is with the pro-business group Vital for Colorado.
The ban fracking movement is really a heavy-handed approach. versus, you know, what the governor is doing and what the Oil and Gas Conservation Commission is doing, is bringing all the stakeholders together to really craft a compromise and identify a path forward.
Coolidge says upholding the Longmont ban and Fort Collins moratorium would have a ripple effect throughout Colorado's economy.
It's not just the oil and gas operators, it's the mineral rights owners who have invested their money, who rely on this for their livelihood and the royalty payments. They're shut down and their property is completely devalued. It's, you know, the accountants and the lawyers and the marketing firms and all these groups that support, you know, these companies.
Much of the discussion centered on which test the court should use to determine if state law trumps local bans. The cities argued for a more subjective case-by-case test, while the Colorado Oil and Gas Association, the group that sued the cities, says it's fairly clear-cut. The cities are banning something that is legal under Colorado law. Matt Lepore directs the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, which regulates the energy industry and is a party to the Longmont lawsuit. He says communities that ban fracking will simply push production onto neighboring areas.
To the extent that these activities have externalities, their citizens are, by virtue of the ban, not subject to those externalities, but they continue to enjoy the benefits of the oil and gas production, right? Using the natural gas to heat their homes, they're enjoying sub $2 a gallon gasoline because of the record production of oil, which is tied to hydraulic fracturing. There's simply no question about that.
But for Denver resident and community activist Evie Klett, she hopes keeping the bans in place would be a step toward an overall shift in energy consumption.
I'm pretty much a climate activist. If we want to have a livable planet, then we need to get off of fossil fuels and switch over to renewables and change the way that we live so we can live with the planet and not against it.
Fracking opponents say even if the Supreme Court strikes down the two cases, they'll still push ahead with ballot initiatives to try and change state law or the Constitution. The cities are hoping the cases get sent back to the district court for a trial so they have a chance to prove the bans don't hurt the state's interest in extracting the minerals. Meanwhile, the industry wants the high court to uphold the lower court's decision. The Supreme Court is expected to make a ruling in about 6 months. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
For KBNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.